and start up your weekend for a lot of folks. I know a lot of you will be taking this as the last day of the week and take a four-day weekend. If you are, enjoy that. Be safe. Be smart. Honor the fallen. But, you know, enjoy it. Enjoy some time.
Absolutely.
As things open up. It's going to be a pretty interesting weekend, we know, Buck, because this is the first holiday weekend in which, you know, for all intents and purposes, the state is open, right? People
right.
can go places, do
lots
things.
Lots of concerts, lots of things going on.
Lots going on. The
yeah.
coast will be packed, the lakes will be packed, and waterways anywhere. So be careful, be smart, but enjoy that. We've earned it. It's been a long year to get to where we are right now, whatever your choices will be on this Buck Off Thursday and Buck On to the world opening back up.
Yep. For sure. Yep. Yeah, and I'll tell you what, there's another group that's going to be having their eyes opened up, and that's the Austin FC soccer team. They are headed to Seattle to play the Sounders, SC Seattle. And
thank you, Bill.
The best team in the MLS that they're going to play, and this is a team that's not scoring right now, and they're put the possibilities of not having Danny Pereira or Romano in this game this week it'll be tough on them. So expectations after they got a little two-game winning streak were really, really high, and I think Josh Wolf is starting to feel it. You know, he's talking about the media and what the expectations from the media is. Well, you're in Austin, Texas. Expectations are high, whether you're the University of Texas or a new expansion team in soccer. People like winners, and they want to have winners, and they want to have it in their professional soccer team. But got to be careful. This is a soccer team that's still growing, and, you know, their designated players Punchettino, they need to get it cranked up a little bit. And Dominguez, they can't be every once in a while scorers. They've got to be in the fray. They need more offense on this team. And this is a blue-collar team with not great, great players. They got some really good, solid players. But and Danny Pereira, you know, we've been talking about him, over the last couple of weeks, BK and I, and he doesn't look like a rookie. Well, last week against Nashville, they knocked him off the ball, being physical with him. He looked like a rookie. You know, he looked like a young kid playing in the MLS or any soccer professional league. So they've got to find out how can they score some goals. And as I said, Josh Wolf is staying the course right now, trying to develop his culture and what he wants to do. But playing from the back third is going to be tough against the best team in the MLS. So be aware that they're going to be down a couple guys, possibly. But this is going to be tough on them because everybody's saying, when are they going to score? When are they going to score? Probably the wrong team to think that they're going to score a lot of goals against, the best team. So it'd be interesting this weekend to see how they play coming up. You know, they played good teams, but they haven't played the best, and they'll play the best this weekend on Sunday. Should be interesting.
Yeah, that's part of the weekend for sure. And, of course, first home game, June 19th with San Jose.
I bet you they can't wait to be off the road, no matter what. You know, when you get that, you know, when you win two on the road, you think we're not bad. Then all of a sudden you lose three straight, and now you got to face two of the best teams coming up back-to-back weeks before you get home. That's a tough road. Now, 8 games on the road anywhere is ridiculous. It just is.
Yeah, well,
in any sport.
Yeah, it's a tough circumstance. And obviously COVID and delays pushed back the completion of all the infrastructure in and around the stadium, which led to this. And, you know, mm-hmm. let's control the controllables. I mean, there's nothing you can do about it.
No.
It's just the way it had to play out.
You got to play the game that you're – for a head coach, you just got to stay what you want to happen, whether you have the people for it or not. You've got to change up because you're not in a position that you're going to win a bunch of games as an expansion team. You don't have those type of players yet, and you're trying to develop that when you do get those type of players, you'll be ready to go.
No doubt. We'll talk more about that throughout the morning. Also, the thoughts of Steve Sarkisian at his first public appearance since he's been the head coach at Texas in front of a live crowd. We'll talk about his appearance at the Houston Touchdown Club coming up and what we can take away from it.
Building cultures.
That's right. Let's start, though, with the headlines. Trending topics, busy morning, including an upset yesterday in Oklahoma City. UBO Business Services brings it to you. Yeah, Big 12 baseball yesterday. OKC, West Virginia's Jackson Wolf outpitched Texas ace Ty Madden. And the 8th-seeded West Virginia Mountaineers outplayed the top-seeded Texas Longhorns en route to a 5-1 win in the first round of the double elimination tournament at Bricktown Ballpark. Both starting pitchers yesterday are likely first-round draft picks in the MLB draft, and it was the 6-7 lefty Wolf who delivered a gem. The 138-pitch complete game 5-hitter only allowed a sixth inning solo home run to Eric Kennedy. That was it for the offense for Texas. Madden, the Big 12's pitcher of the year, not bad. Allowed 3 runs in 6 2/3, a solo homer in the first, and then West Virginia added a couple more in the fifth, pushed off a couple of runs, a wild pitch, scored the third. More than enough, though, for Texas, who managed just a solo home run, as we mentioned. David Pierce talking about his offense, bunting situations, and not capitalizing on opportunities.
Yeah, I mean, I just didn't feel like it was a bunt situation most of the night because we were down by two and the type of guys that were coming to the plate with a great day to hit. So, you know, we just didn't execute and get it done. We got to win tomorrow if we want to stick around and figure it out on Friday. So that's the first task we got to deal with, and got to be ready to play tomorrow.
Tomorrow is today. That would be 12:30. The Longhorns will face an elimination game against the Oklahoma Sooners. Sooners lost last night in the Bedlam game. Oak State beat them 9-5, so 12:30 today. Texas and Oklahoma. Tristan Stevens, the first-team All-Big 12 right-hander, gets the ball. You'll hear the game live here on the Horn and the Horn app. Also, yesterday at Bricktown, it was Texas Tech rolling past Baylor 11-4. TCU rallied for a walk-off 7-6 win over Kansas State. So your schedule today, you have the first game of the day, Baylor meeting K-State in an elimination game this morning, then Texas Oklahoma, then it'll be Texas Tech and TCU this afternoon in a winner's bracket game tonight. Oklahoma State plays West Virginia. Major League Baseball last night, Houston Astros snapped a four-game losing streak while finally posting a victory against the tough right-hander Trevor Bauer down at Minute Maid Park. Carlos Correa, Jose Altuve, Aledmys Diaz all homered to push Houston past the LA Dodgers 5-2. They're in a split in that two-game series. Bauer had been 8-0 lifetime against the Astros. In Anaheim, Angels built a 9-1 early lead and then had to hold on as the Rangers rallied back, but Angels win at 9-8. They sweep that quick two-game set. From Texas, they're off. Rangers are off to Seattle this weekend. NBA playoffs last night, what a game. The late game in Utah where top-seeded Jazz rebounded from their Game 1 loss to Memphis, 141-129. Donovan Mitchell scored 25 in his return from his ankle injury, and the Jazz overcame a 47-point night from Ja Morant to tie that series at 1 each. Early game saw the Knicks rally from 13 down in the second half to top Atlanta. Even that series at a game each, 101-92. Derrick Rose led the Knicks with 26, and the top-seeded Philadelphia 76ers, no trouble. They roll past Washington, 120-95, they lead that series 2-0.
This segment brought to you by UBO Business Services. Great people, great service, endless possibilities. That's UBO Business Services. Visit them at ubeo.com.
Before we get to our coach's corner, Buck, how about Buck off to one of the top female women's tennis players in the world? You see the stance that Naomi Osaka is taking? She is a three-time Grand Slam champion. And she's going to the French Open, and she'll be one of the favorites there. She announced that she will not do any media availability while competing at Roland Garros, citing mental health concerns for herself and fellow players.
Don't put fellow players in there. Just talk about you. There's no reason you're not the spokesperson for everybody. So if you don't want to talk to the media, that's on you. Don't give it to about your fellow players. Let them speak for themselves. If you don't want to talk to them, that's your business. But generally, when you're in professional sports, you know, they ask you to be available for the media. They're the ones that, you know, talk about you all over the place. They're the ones that show up on TV. I mean, without them, who would know about you, really? Who would know about the sport? I mean, why is it so difficult to do that?
It's kind of a hand-in-glove thing here.
I thought that's what it was.
If you don't talk and support your sport,
Who's
buying tickets? Who's paying the rights fees? Or who's paying out the payouts, right, when you win tournaments? Who's covering that? She said, though, I have often felt that people have no regard for athletes' mental health. And this rings very true. Whenever I see a press conference or partake in one, we're often sat there, asked questions that would have been asked multiple times before, or asked questions that bring doubt into our minds, and I'm just not going to subject myself to people that doubt me.
God, you're talking about soft.
Yeah, you're talking about
I'm mentally soft.
Oh my gosh,
that's all right. Well, they asked me the same questions. Oh well, it's not going to take much to answer it then, right? If you get asked the same question over and over again, it shouldn't take much for you and much effort for you to answer the question like you answered the first time. How hard is that? You don't have to ask her anything different. I mean, that's what the media does.
I mean, right, and that's the media's job is to cover the sport. Coverage of the sport creates the interest. You know, fans learn about their favorite athletes through, you know, media conversations and television, and then watching, of course. I mean, that's just part of the deal. I mean, you can't separate one from the other, I don't believe. And you know, do we in the media sometimes ask dumb questions? Absolutely.
Yes.
And do we ask questions that were already asked? Yes, well, we weren't here 30 minutes ago.
This and as you're an athlete, do you say dumb things?
Yes.
Yes.
But she can't just opt out. And
she
then
could
cite,
if she wanted to. If they want to find her, they can go ahead and
they're going to find the heck out of her.
Okay.
But I mean, they're gonna. They need to. I mean, this is but it is a sign of, you know, being very young and being
but don't put that on everybody.
No, exactly.
It's like, hey, wait a minute, don't speak for me.
Yeah, I mean,
that's like every time LeBron says something, and people get, you know, I always think, well, he's not speaking for me. I got my own voice. I can speak. I don't need LeBron James to speak for everybody. He doesn't have to, you know. And for her to talk about how she's speaking for the rest of the athletes that play tennis in this deal, don't do that. Don't, because I got to have someone would make a phone call right to her and say, hey, you're speaking for you. You're not speaking for me.
Well, and a high majority or all of them beyond her are going to go to the press conferences and do the press conferences and answer the questions, because that's what you do. That's just
that's
how
a part of it, right?
Right. And the Tennis Association,
part of being a pro.
It is part of being a pro. And I mean, look, I'm just not going to subject myself to people that doubt me. Well, come on.
See, it's interesting because she's also with a celebrity rapper, so she's in the limelight all the time. It's not like, you know, she doesn't like the, you know, celebrity, mm-hmm. I guess, you know, promotion thing, but it's weird for her to say that when she dates rappers.
It's just an agenda that she has right now on mental health. And now she's just putting it on the app, you don't respect me as an athlete enough, so I'm going to put it on all mental health, but I'm going to back it into the athlete category just this time. Maybe next tennis, maybe at the, you know, when we get to New York, maybe I'll put it in some other mental health issue for something. It's just another way of throwing, you know, it's just her trying to speak for a lot of different people right now. Don't do it. You don't have to speak for everybody. Speak for you.
Well, and pay your fine and move forward. But she's one of the, I'm looking at this from the side of the people who run women's tennis. I mean, she's one of the biggest names in the sport. She's 23 years old. She's won 3 Grand Slams, and there's going to be more. And people like Serena and Venus Williams are moving on and out of the sport.
Right.
They need her speaking. They need her talking. They need her. And you know, when you throw the words mental health in there, of course, that comes with the new stigma. Ooh. Can't talk about mental health. That's her mental health. Well
that's her agenda. That's what she's trying
right.
to do.
And well, she's just a snowflake that doesn't want to answer hard questions. But that's part of the deal if you want to compete at the highest levels of your sport.
And yeah, you get, like I said, you get asked a lot of questions over and over the same way. To me, it shouldn't be that hard to answer them. If you've answered them one way and you feel like that's the way to answer them, just answer them the same way. It's in your mind. It's easy enough. It shouldn't be that difficult.
Yeah, and it's par. I mean, not to borrow the golf term, it's par for the course. I mean, sure, if you were just at the Australian Open, had been there, and you answered that question, now you're in France, well, new people are asking you new questions. And maybe it is a redundant question. But at the same time, you just talked about Josh Wolf, the coach of the Austin FC. You know, he gets tired of asking, well, when are you going to start scoring some goals?
Right.
Well, you don't think he needs to be at that press conference to answer the questions so that the fans can hear from their coach? And
the ones that pay the tickets?
Yeah. I mean, listen, you can't have it that way. You can't be in it and take the money when you win an event and not participate in the growth of the sport and the popularity of the sport and the tickets that get sold.
And as the one texter just says here, she has a right not to speak. Okay, then you'll get fined. That's fine. Then you'll be fine. But you're not helping your sport by not speaking. I don't believe you're helping your sport. You may be helping you and your mental health, but you're not helping your sport. I don't believe that helps your sport at all.
All right, well, take your thoughts on that. Not a huge, you know, tennis.
Yeah, she's kind of they hope for her to be kind of the future, but she's not as consistent as you think as a tennis player right now. She's not Serena. She's not some of these young ladies that are really used to winning and dominating. She is not a dominator. So it's kind of funny that she's going to try to be the spokesperson in a way. Or she's just being an individual saying what she thinks. Well, speak as an individual. Don't speak for all the athletes.
So she has a right not to speak. What happens if our freedoms – what happened to our freedoms regardless of your jobs? You guys hate anyone who stands up for what they believe
in. That's not true.
That is not true.
I'm just saying, if she doesn't want to speak, that's cool. I'm just saying, but don't – she doesn't need to speak for everybody else.
Well, but I disagree where you say if she doesn't want to speak, she doesn't need to. I mean, she's part of a sport. She's part of a collective. She's part of an industry, and she's a big part of it. She's a face of it, a young face of it.
I'm just saying there's consequences if you don't speak, and the consequences, you're going to get fined.
Right, and you're hurting your sport.
But nobody's going to take her arm and put it behind her back and twist her arm to speak.
They're not. All right, let's get to the Coach's Corner. It's brought to you by Audiovisual Consultations, avconsultations.com. That's where Tom McKay and his crew are knocking it out, have been for 30 years for all of your home video, audio needs, everything. That home theater, the home sports watching room, everything you want. They are the best. at avconsultations.com.
Absolutely.
All right, so Steve Sarkisian speaking to the Touchdown Club of Houston yesterday, and a wide-ranging conversation. Of course, this is a, you know, get out and meet the alumni, meet the fan base, go face-to-face, press the flesh. That was his first chance to do so. Among the topics covered, he's excited about June 1 when coaches are allowed to go in homes and recruit. He did say, however, I thought this was an interesting quote from Steve Sarkisian, Buck. He said, the big thing I keep reminding the staff is not to get lost. The big thing I keep reminding the staff not to get lost is our football team. He says, we start summer school. We start our summer workouts here June 2nd, which is a key component to the immediate future. As much as recruiting is our future moving forward, this is a big month for us on a lot of different levels. So essentially, don't get out on the road and forget about the current roster. Don't get out on the road so eager to recruit and make a, you know, begin the process of the future. We got a group here.
We're just getting to know the group that's here right now. Forget about the ones that aren't here yet. We got to know the ones that are here. That's a pretty good message.
Yeah, no, that's right. I mean, because, you know, they're going to play like football games in 100 days, and the guys that are out recruiting starting June 1st are not going to play in that game. Let's make sure we keep our eyes on the prize. Got to be double duty here, doing both. Keeping in, because, yeah, June 2nd is when the summer workouts begin. Now, he did say, Steve Sarkisian, that they do expect Jake Smith, the wide receiver who was injured during spring practice, to be ready to start working out with the team on June 2nd.
Mm-hmm.
He'll be good to go, which is a piece of good news from Steve Sarkisian. He also was asked about his depth chart. This is an interesting quote, Buck, from Steve Sarkisian. Coming out of spring, you've now seen the team. You've spent the first several months with them. And was asked about his depth chart. He said, I really don't think anyone or anything solidified. We're a competition-based organization. Not that I don't want anyone to feel comfortable, but I want everybody to feel like they're competing for something. The moment I relax, hey, I got my spot, I'm good now, I'm not pushing myself, I'm not getting pushed by someone else to get better throughout the summer and into fall camp. Like I said at the end of the spring ball, we've got a lot of work to do, and we will work to do it, as he says. And we got to be prepared for a challenging schedule. 15 practices, not enough to know.
Rod, it's good to know that the head coach wanted to speak. What if he decided not to speak to the media? What if he said, nah, that's okay. I'm making $25 million, $30 million for my contract. It's not necessary for me to talk to the media at all. Where I need to talk
to
them
the fans.
For, hey, I don't need to talk to you guys. I'll see you at the game. Just watch me coach the game.
Exactly. I mean, I know people will disagree with me on Naomi Osaka. Because this is the media overvalues itself. Of course we do. Of course we do. But you know, how do you get information? I'll go to their Twitch account and I'll go to their Snapchat and give you the stuff they want. But no one will ask them a question. No one will ever challenge them on anything that they say. And that's the way most athletes and most politicians would want it, right? You can take that into any realm, the political realm. You want all of your information. I mean, I know the media is not in a good place right now with the polarization and the news networks and everything that goes on.
Yeah, we've been.
But plus, if no one ever asks a question,
I know we've been stuck in having to just listen to the media. We've been stuck indoors and everything else, and the media is what you see. So you can make your opinions.
Well, media
about
is
it.
A very broad term,
right?
And yeah, those guys can, you know, any athlete can go to their own Instagram and can jump on a video and tell you exactly what they're feeling. If they feel like they've been misquoted at some point, that's now a new power they have, which is a great thing in my opinion. But, you know, to promote your sport, to talk to your audience, to talk to your fan base, that's the avenue. And then
I think it's a great thing.
And then questions are asked of Steve Sarkisian. Like Steve Sarkisian was asked about the transfer portal yesterday, right? And, you know, you're eager to hear what he has to say about it. He's brought in five new players through the transfer mm-hmm. portal. They've lost a couple as well. He says, I'm a believer in when you take transfers, you take them to fill a need, in essence. And he says, I was a transfer portal person myself, not the portal, but he was a transfer. I went to USC as a high school baseball player, then back to junior college, and then went on to play at BYU for 2 years. But I was trying to choose the school that at the time they had a need for a quarterback. I don't think the transfer portal, how to view it, is much different. Do we have a need at a position where a player can fulfill that need for the short term while we develop a younger player?
Yeah, I mean, these coaches aren't just going grabbing guys because they're available to grab. I mean, they have to have needs. They don't just want to fill up the team, you know, and a lot of people say what they like to do is fill up and strengthen a position. There's nothing wrong with strengthening your position and having depth with a player that maybe sometimes you wouldn't have taken. Maybe you would have taken, an high school player, but what I need is I need strength and depth at a certain position that I don't think a high school player can fulfill immediately for me. help my team.
Correct. And that's, I like the way he views it. It's as a positive, as we can fill. We're going to lose some guys, too. That's just the nature of the beast. But without being able to transfer, then I wouldn't have even gotten to BYU, right, or I got to play for Norm Chow.
That's right.
You know, Lavelle Edwards, and develop as a quarterback, and you know, have the career that I had.
Yeah, I wonder if they asked him about the kid that's coming out of high school. That must have been an interesting conversation right there.
Yeah, well, he was asked about Jaden Blue. He is the youngster who is opting out of his senior year, and the stories down there are conflicting. You know, down in the, you know, north of Houston, they, you know, the parents.
Yeah, there's more to it than just this.
Parent. Well, of course, there's always two sides. Yeah. The parents are saying one thing, and the family that he's been, you know, taking some cheap shots at practice, and he's worried about injury. Meanwhile, the coach is saying, you know, that's not true, and whatever. Both sides are saying the other side's being unreasonable. Either way, the kid is electing to not play his senior year of football, and he'll enroll in Texas in January and be an early enrollee player. Now, keep in mind, Jaden Blue, in some services, is the top running back in the nation. He's regarded as that good of a player.
Yeah, and even though the stars on him right now are four, they were talking about if that guy played his senior year, that would be bumped up to five.
Yes.
When you watch him play.
He's that talented.
Yeah.
And so when he was asked yesterday down in Houston about the seniors opting out of their final year, he says, I put a lot of thought into it. I think a little bit of it is it's kind of the trickle-down effect. I don't know how many years ago when NFL players started holding out, wanted more guaranteed money, wanted a better contract, or they wanted to go to another team. Then all of a sudden you had college players not playing in bowl games right before the draft. Then all of a sudden last season we had college players opting out and deciding not to play. I was just thinking about this. I know there were three players that opted out and ended up being top 10 NFL draft picks, and they didn't even play last season in college football. And now here we are in high school football talking about it. I don't know necessarily what's good, what's bad, what's right, what's wrong, as it pertains to the university and the individuals or kids on our team. Or maybe for the future of the NFL, our biggest thing is that we're trying to do is support the high school coaches in knowing that the job that they have to do, and then B, support the families and the young men that are maybe even talking about making this type of decision. I think it's a bigger than one individual.
That's an awesome answer to it. He's not sure what he feels about it yet. He may make a decision. I mean, it sounds like me that Sark's going to weigh this out. This kid is coming, but from this point on, he's going to weigh it out, whether he'll do that again. But he wants to see how it works out. And I think that's a good way to answer it. You know,
yeah.
I'm not quite sure.
Well, and that's what you end, because you don't know what to say in that spot. I mean, it is a trickle down. We've talked about that. This is coming. What happens above does trickle down in pretty much all phases, and this is the latest. You know,
made a decision on this is what the university is going to do from this point forward on kids like that. But he just doesn't know right now.
Yeah.
So he doesn't have to answer it right now. That's a good answer.
And he's got to support Texas high school football coaches. I mean, he can't just take the side of a player because the coaches have a job, and if star players start opting out all over the state, well, now you got a problem for the Texas high school football coaches and football coaches in general. He's got to support that.
And they're already going to have problems because of the transfer portal. They don't need to have another problem.
Yeah. Well, and you've predicted, I think, accurately that the high school football recruiting is going to suffer long term as we move forward because of the portal, that veteran players will take those scholarships over high school players that never played on and stepped foot on a campus. And so how does the trickle-down effect of that happen? I think we're all trying to get our hands around
for sure
where this is headed, but it was only a matter of time
But I think he answered that question pretty well. I think he's going to wait and weigh how this works out for him. And if this kid comes and it's good and it works out for him, I think Sark will then come back with the answer of, we're not going to do this way, or this is going to be our policy from this point forward. I whether it's individual cases or not, he's going to have a policy, but he doesn't know what the policy is yet.
Well, I think it would be one of those things. I don't hate it, but the fallback case by case basis.
Mm-hmm.
But you know, you listen to the player; he's committed to you, but he calls and says, "Coach, I mean, I've had two injuries to my knee, and you know, they're wanting to. I'm pretty sure I'm going to be the bell cow this year, and I'm not really in line with the coach's philosophy. Whatever. You have to listen to what the player says, but then if you disagree with the player, you have to tell him that. Say, well, man, young man, I think you're making a poor choice here. We're, you know, what I you got to take it on a case by case, because it might be a kid that just doesn't want to play, but you as a coach want him to go compete. You want him to go play,
correct,
for his football team.
That's
as
right.
A senior. That's not like not opting out of one bowl game. That's opting out of an entire senior season.
Right.
That's a bigger animal to me.
But if you play in the state of Texas and you're running back in the state of Texas and you're the primary ball carrier, and we used to hear of guys getting 2,500 yards in a season. dude, they can wear a running back in this state.
Yes, I know. And that's the case-by-case, two-way street situation. Correct. We'll take your thoughts on both of those big topics. Naomi Osaka saying, not talking to the media. Steve Sarkisian talking to the fans and the media yesterday down in Houston. He also, by the way, was asked what he was impressed with during the fall camp, or the spring camp. Said interior defensive front, and he said he also is impressed that they have veteran depth on the offensive line. So good place to start. Happy with his lines of scrimmage coming out of spring and into the summer workouts, which will begin next Tuesday. We'll be back, B&E, with you. We'll have Hot or Not for the end of the hour. Buck-offs and buck-ons all morning long, live, local, and digital, streaming on your Horn app, on your smart speaker, and at hornfm.com.
It's Bucky and Aaron.
Thursday on the Horn, that means Buck-offs and Buck-ons, presented by Green Mountain Flower Company every single Thursday. I'll say Buck-on to Jackson Wolf, the big left-hander for West Virginia, going to the mat for his team last night, or yesterday afternoon in Oklahoma City. 138-pitch complete game for the Mountaineers. They beat Texas 5-1. He was stellar. Longhorns were their own worst enemy at times on the base paths and didn't capitalize. David Pierce said, we need to play with more energy and play with more immediacy, but give that kid credit. We're talking about players opting out and not getting worn down. This is a first-round draft pick coming up this summer who went on through 140 pitches and a complete game for his team who needed it because they had a game the night before that they used their top three relievers, and he delivered for his team. Longhorns fall into the loser's bracket. They will face Oklahoma today, 12:30, in an elimination game at the Big 12 tournament. But as we said, the big-picture stuff, Longhorns – I mean, you're now in a spot, Buck, where you know you want to go try to win this thing. You want to get after it if you're Texas, but at the same time, you don't want to. You know, you're in a scenario you're going to play every day.
Yeah, you want to be careful
into the weekend. And yeah, I don't want to take things for granted. You got to play better than you did yesterday and with more energy. I agree with everything David Pierce said.
I don't want to wear out arms. That's what I don't want to do.
Yeah, but you have a situation where you're coming back home, and on Monday they're going to announce the field of 64, and you're going to be a top eight national seed, probably top five.
Well, I don't want to go out two in a row.
You do not. You want to, and the resilient word's been thrown around by a lot with this team.
Mm-hmm.
I expect to see a really good performance by them today with Tristan Stevens on the hill. And he's just the guy you want, because the thing you love about Tristan is he pounds the strike zone. He doesn't take long. I mean, his defense loves playing behind Tristan because he pitches to contact, but he uses both sides of the plate. He won't walk a lot of people. It'll be one of those games that'll get you defensively. You're into it at all times with Tristan on the mound. And then offensively, they've got a – I mean, Cam Williams can't get picked off yesterday at second base with a runner second.
Yeah, this
runner
is not the beginning of the season. This is
– we're runner second and third and a scoring opportunity in an inning, and you end up getting picked off, and where are you going? You're not going to steal third as a guy at third.
No.
Yeah, you're maybe trying to get a little jump if you get a base hit so you can score, but still, that's inexcusable.
That's kind of the fundamentals, isn't it?
Oh, my gosh. And David Pierce said as much, as there's zero excuse for that.
Yeah, buck-ons and buck-offs. Big buck-on to our listeners to this show. Because we have lived rent-free in your minds for over 20 years, and we do appreciate it.
You've taken Bryson's.
Let us thank you for letting us have that spot rent-free in your minds, as we see on the Specs text line every day. So we do appreciate that. In all seriousness, we do. But we have lived rent-free in your heads for a long, long time. So thank you very much.
Thank you. No
buck
question.
On to you.
No question. We'll get into Bryson DeChambeau.
And Naomi, you want to buck on to her, too, because people are living rent-free in her mind right now. And I just want to know why her rapper boyfriend thinks he's Tupac and thinks he's got a good one.
Who's her rapper
out.
Boyfriend, Naomi Osaka? I don't know this person.
Zay knows this dude. He's a good one.
His name is Corday.
Corday. Ooh, cool name. Cool name. I like the name.
Cordell and Cordell?
Cordell and Cordell?
Corday.
Cordell.
Oh, Corday.
Gotcha.
He's got one dropping. It's pretty good.
Yeah.
Dropping it like it's hot, like a real hot one.
Supposed to be dropping this summer. Highly anticipated.
Well, Naomi should talk to Corday. And say, when you drop this new album, are you going to do a publicity tour to promote the
album? We're not talking.
Don't want to talk to the media. Y'all are all dumb.
Corday and I
My mental health is at stake.
Yeah, let me speak for Corday. We are not talking to
the
media.
No, Corday is going to say, you know what? I'm going to be at every radio station in the country promoting my record so people will play it.
Wait a minute, that's not the way it works.
Yeah.
That's not – She does not want that. She does not want Corday out there doing these things with radio stations. No, we can't do that.
He said in one of his lyrics, my girlfriend will forfeit a tennis match just to meet my grandmother.
Nice. Well, that's good. But I understand athletes' frustration with the media at times. I understand the strains of press conferences and media availabilities and the dumb questions that come. But it is part of the deal. I mean, if you're going to play for prize money and the prize money is X, that's part of how this happens and what makes it happen. You can pretend it doesn't, but it's a huge part of the exposure. And women's tennis with the Williams sisters moving on needs as much exposure as it can get, because who are the marketable brands? And if your most marketable brand doesn't want to talk, that's a problem.
Yes.
I mean, get outside yourself on this. This is bigger than just you. This is an entire sport at that point. All right, your thoughts there. So, speaking of the rent-free inside your head, we'll reset the jokes yesterday, the on Twitter, on social media barbing that went on. But let me mention real quick, Buck, speaking of when this show began, you know, today's a pretty big day in history, May 27th. This was the day the Golden Gate Bridge opened. This was the day that Christopher Reeve was paralyzed in a horse accident. That was terrible. Also, Buck, this was the day in 1977 Smokey and the Bandit was released. Burt Reynolds, Jackie Gleason.
Wait a minute.
The classic. Come on, man.
Are we getting a history lesson right here now?
But it also is the day that in 1997, an F5 tornado hit Jarrell, Texas, just north of town here, up past Georgetown.
Unexpected. And
oh, my gosh.
Yes.
And I'll just say that that day, the fact that CB reminded us, our show historian on Twitter, that it was 24 years ago today, I mean, that's one of those where were you when moments for me. I was a young radio broadcaster here in town, and our radio stations were in a building right there at 811 Barton, Buck, right there across from the Long Center, Palmer Event Center, that building, that and the office faced north. So on the eighth floor. So I just remember that day that all the EAS system alerts were going off. We were doing radio on a station called Sports Fan 1490.
Oh,
Sports Fan 1490
the big
back in the day. Max Miller, dribbling Dick Dickerson, everybody. And so here goes all the alerts. And so you could look out the eighth floor and look north. And never in my life have I had a scene like something out of a movie. Make the sky, because there were tornadoes. I mean, all you kept hearing, tornadoes in Cedar Park, tornadoes in Leander, and then you hear about this F5, and you could see the system to the north. It was unbelievable, and it felt like some type of apocalyptic movie. And I'm sitting here as a 20 whatever I was year old guy there, 25 years old, thinking, oh my gosh, that thing's heading this way. I'm in this building at up eight floors, and you're thinking about all the people that are in it. That was unbelievable. 24 years ago today. And lost a lot of lives out there.
Certainly did.
And power, F5. I just remember the aftermath and going up there. We did some benefit things up there.
A lot of mobile homes and stuff in that area.
We did some benefits out in to raise money for and help people out from the radio cluster. And this storm was so powerful, it would tear houses out and would pull the plumbing out of the ground. It would pull grass out of the ground. I mean, it was unbelievable how powerful that storm was, and that was 24 years ago this day. Thank you to CB for the reminder.
Yeah, CB's got to remind me about what went on in Waco, the Waco standoff with David Koresh, because I think I was here at the time, E, and that was one of those deals where in the summertime I was playing golf, but it was like listening to it and hearing day number whatever it was, day number this.
That was 94.
Yeah, it was, yeah. That was, yeah, it was like day number this, it was day number that.
I remember
and
watching.
Every day I watched that, I would get home and watch what was going on at that place. I would literally sit, and I was not, because I hate watching a lot of news. I hate watching, you know, these different news stations. But I remember, 9/11, or remember, I had to go home because I had to sit and see what day, was this thing going to end? Was this going to happen? And was that going to happen? And was that going to end in Waco? When was it going to end? And I swear, I sat for like 26 straight days or whatever the amount of days was, in front of a TV at some given time of the day.
Crazy, right?
Watching that.
Yeah, I remember watching the compound burn, I believe, at St. Edward's. I was a student at St. Ed's, and I was over at campus, and it was on a TV.
I think I remember that with my mouth open going, wait a minute, is this really happening? Are there people in there? Are they out? Are they whatever? Yeah. I remember that day watching.
Well, we've learned that two things were correlated. I watched really on the same TV at St. Ezra's, a place called The Reunion, where you go get snacks and eat, and I would sit there, you could sit there and study, get out of the apartment kind of thing. And that's where I watched the Oklahoma City bombing aftermath. And then, of course, you know, a year later or so, it was the compound, David Koresh. Backwards. Mm-hmm. But watched them both on that same television
same
at St. Edward's University. All right, so there you go. Little walk down memory lane. We'll walk through. So yesterday it was announced that the match, you know, the PGA Tour is in Fort Worth today, Colonial Country Club. Phil Mickelson will tee off, and you know, everybody will be watching he and Jordan Spieth today. But the other story of the sports world this week has been the Bryson DeChambeau, Brooks Koepka feud, rift, whatever's going on between those two. Well, yesterday it was announced that the match is coming back, the made-for-television competition, and it's going to be Tom Brady and Phil Mickelson, who were in it last time against Tiger Woods and Peyton Manning, and they won. This time they're going to face Bryson DeChambeau and Aaron Rodgers. Aaron Rodgers, this disgruntled quarterback of the Green Bay Packers. We come back, we'll give you some of the go back and forth.
Some smack going
on. I mean,
right
Tom
there.
Brady was feeling chippy yesterday.
He's the one who really started this.
Tom Brady,
the GOAT.
Tom Brady, with his 7 Super Bowl rings, was like, okay, I'm all in on this. Let's have some fun, and we'll let you know what he had to say. Also, Isaiah Collier will lead us through the hot or not topics we've missed halfway through the show. It's B&E on a Thursday.
The Horns text line is brought to you by Specs, your tailgating headquarters with a Texas size selection of lower priced everything. Cheers to savings. What's hot? And what's not?
This segment brought to you by Altstadt Beers, brewed right here in the heart of the Hill Country. Check out their state-of-the-art brewery, tap room, and restaurant next time you're in Fredericksburg. Altstadt Beers, no impurities, no regrets.
Buck-ons and buck-offs on a Thursday. Also, the hot or not topics we've missed. Isaiah Collier leads us through that here in a moment. Knicks won their first playoff game in 8 years last night. Jazz even the series with Memphis, even though Ja Morant scored 47 points last night. 76ers continue to roll past Washington. How about Russell Westbrook got hurt his ankle, and then a fan in Philly dumped popcorn on him while he's laying there. Jerk.
Yeah, that's kind of goofy.
Only in Philly, Buck.
Waste of popcorn.
Also, I got to say, Buck, on to this. We mentioned the match with Tom Brady and Phil Mickelson against Bryson DeChambeau and Aaron Rodgers. That was announced yesterday, to which Tom Brady took to Twitter. And so here's what he did. At TomBrady.com, or at Tom Brady, he posted the picture of Brooks Koepka at the microphone with Bryson DeChambeau right behind his ear.
Right.
And he wrote, Brooks, happy to be here, and then in front of, Bryson, happy to be here, and then in front of Brooks Koepka, it says, Aaron realizing he has to spend the whole day with Bryson. Oh, that's a shot. And then same picture, he recaptioned it, says Aaron Rodgers, then behind it, it says, the Packers kicking a field goal down 7.
How about that?
Oh!
Well, they're going to get after each other before it's all, somebody's going to get their feelings hurt.
So then,
I wonder who's going to get his feelings hurt first.
And then, so
guess who it's going to be? Aaron Rodgers.
Rodgers.
He's going to get his feelings hurt.
So Brooks Koepka sees it, and he retweets and says, sorry, bro, at Aaron Rodgers. So, sorry you got to play with that dude, essentially. Yeah. Phil Mickelson jumps in going, hey, I feel like I got caught in the middle of something here. Or maybe we should put Brooks in the match. I'll back out, but I know they want the PGA champion.
Oh, no, they're all taking shots. The one about the floodgates is really good, too.
Oh, it went on and on the whole day. It's great. It's perfect. I love it. I'm all in now.
Yeah, so when they start this kind of stuff, I always wonder who will get hurt first. I already got it.
Get hurt?
Whose feelings
will get hurt? Well, Aaron Rodgers did come back with a gif that was, it's Will Ferrell from News from Anchorman saying, boy, that escalated
That's
quickly.
What I'm saying. Yeah. Some smack talkers are going all over.
Oh, that's good. That's good. All right, Isaiah Collier, are you hot on Twitter smack talk between?
Oh yeah, y'all know I'm petty. Y'all know I'm petty. I'm all about it.
Yeah,
you're all about it. You're all
about it.
Get your popcorn ready. What about dumping popcorn on an injured player?
All about it. All about it. And that goes straight to my hot or not, fellas. Because there was a lot of NBA fan pettiness yesterday, and you know, we talk about Russell Westbrook getting the popcorn dumped on him as he's walking through the tunnel, which he overreacted. Like, Russell, you need to realize at least fans are back to be able to do that.
Yeah.
So that's, you know, that's on one hand. But let's go to the Knicks games where people were handing out pieces of paper saying that we are going to call Trae Young, or we're going to chant, I'm sorry, Trae Young is balding, which is pretty foul. And a fan attempted to spit on Trae Young yesterday when he was taking the ball out of bounds, but ended up hitting 50 Cent's woman. I don't know who the woman is, but it was 50 Cent's woman. Out of all three of those moments, which one's the worst?
Oh, it's spit. If you spit on somebody, it's ridiculous. That's gross and disgusting. There's no reason to do something like that. But if the thing about it is, there's always going to be that one idiot that will do something like that. You know, some of the stuff is fun. I mean, the stuff that Spike Lee and those guys do is, I mean, that's like a part of the scene. But when you start spitting on people and start putting your hands on stuff, even throwing popcorn to me is stupid. You're there, watch the game, enjoy yourself, but how far do you really have to take it? I mean, this time it's popcorn, next time it'll be a beer or a drink. I mean, just enjoy it, have some really good fun doing it. If you want to, you're allowed to go ahead and point at a guy and do all that stuff, and the players should be able to take that. But if you start spitting, my shoe is going to come off, and I'm going to try to throw my shoe in your face.
Yeah, there's got to be ground rule.
That's ridiculous.
It is great that fans are back. There's no doubt about that, and maybe they're a little pent up there.
That's never okay.
And you'd rather have popcorn dumped on you than a beer, but
don't even do that.
No,
you're right.
Don't
make the popcorn deal.
The fan should be ejected. I mean, the fan should be ejected from the game for that. I mean, that you're a fan, you bought your ticket, you can cheer, you can boo, but you can't throw things or drop things on players.
Right.
That's over the line. I don't think anybody would disagree. And that's, you know, hold people accountable to their actions. I'm all in on that. But yeah, for the Knicks, you know, that's their first playoff win since 2013. You know, they're feeling themselves a little bit, and they look terrible. By the way, they're down 13. Look like they're going down in an 0-2 hole.
They got down 15 actually.
I think the Trae Young is balding. That's just kind of playful. That's poking fun.
That's probably the mayor trying to get something going again.
He probably started it.
Probably.
By the way,
E, buck on to those officers. I saw the scene that you were talking about. It's hard when you just tell somebody about the fire. I saw the recording of the fire. That's tough for me to think about opening up that door, man. That thing was incredible.
Yeah.
For those two officers.
Huge props.
Big buck
again
on to those guys.
We mentioned it yesterday, but Officers Chandler Herrera and Officer Eddie Pineda.
Good job.
Who bravely risked their own lives to save a man in a burning truck in South Austin earlier this week.
Or to risk incredible burns from doing that.
Oh, my gosh. I mean, the thousands of degrees it was burning. It was a blaze. And, you know, the moments, seconds after they pulled the man from the truck blew up, exploded. They put their own lives at risk to save somebody. I don't think anybody would have blamed them. They said, look, let's just wait for the fire department. This thing's too hot. Too close. I mean, but they didn't. They rushed in there, and that's why they're heroes. That's why they're first responders, and you know, they run into danger when most of us would not even think about it. All right, buck ons and buck offs all morning long. Your thoughts? We have some more Tom Brady jokes because he was a jokester yesterday about the match that's coming up this summer. We have a lot to do. We are glad you are with us as always. We are live. We are local. We are digital. We are always streaming on that Horn app on your smart speaker and at hornfm.com.